as we stop and we pause and we think about Christmas, the first Noel, the time when a baby's cry changed the world forever. Lord, I know sometimes we come to Christmas, and Lord, many of us have celebrated it many times, and if we're not careful, it loses its awe and its wonder. Some of us have grown up Southern Baptist our whole lives, so we've heard Lottie Moon, we can spell her name backwards. And we miss the awe and the wonder and the opportunity. God, we stop and we pause and we thank you for what you are allowing this church to be a part of. To be a part of reaching the ends of the earth. God, I pray you just speak as we just share for just a few moments together about what our response should be to what we've heard from our team this morning. God, I pray you'd speak to our hearts, because each of us have a response to make. Every one of us in this room. And really, here's the question before us. Lord, will we live our lives in such a way that it brings glory in the highest to you alone? That's the question before us. And because we do that, then we would take your glory to the nations, both right here in our own backyard and to the ends of the earth. However that looks for each of us, in our praying, in our giving, and in our going, that you would not let us rest with an image and that last statement that has stuck with me for weeks. Lord God, don't let us stand when billions are bowing before a false God, and that we're okay with that. God, forgive us for being okay with that. Lord, we know the statistics that 2.8 billion people have yet to hear the name of Jesus. God, may that burden our hearts so that we will change how we pray and how we give and how we go. God, would you give us your heart for the nations, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Would you take your copy of God's Word and turn to Psalm 96? You would turn to Psalm 96. While you're turning there, I want just to stop and think for a moment about this scripture as a response to what our team has shared. And I wanted our team to share, because it's very significant that you know and you understand, and we know that if we did it on a Sunday night, we would have about 75 people show up on a Sunday night for our team to share. And I want you to know that it is more important to me that not just 75 hear what's happening in our partnership and our goal to reach the unreached, unengaged people group of the Sangal Sakada. This is a critical endeavor we've taken. And let me stop and brag on you, Pedal FBC. When this first initiative was announced, there were 4,800 unreached, unengaged people groups, something around that amount, I think, in my mind, if I'm remembering correctly. I know it was over 4,000. A call issued maybe 5 or 6 years ago. There are over 50,000 Southern Baptist churches, many of them small. By the way, our church now, where we sit now, we're in the top 10% of Southern Baptist churches in the nation out of 50,000. That's pretty remarkable, isn't it? Because the average Southern Baptist church runs about 75 people. That's about 150 members or so, 200 members, and runs about 75. But out of those 50,000, right now that number stands at 3,200 unreached, unengaged people groups. So only about 1,200 of those 50,000 churches heard the call that was given to say, would your church be willing to engage and embrace an unreached, unengaged people group? And so let this pastor stop in a moment in a sense of spiritual and a good kind of pride and say, thank you, Petal First Baptist, for being one of 1,200 who said, we don't know what in the world we're doing, how to do it, how to get there, but we know that unreached, unengaged is unacceptable to the people of Petal First Baptist Church. And I say, thank you. Thank you. A lot of times we preach hard messages and they're hard and they're difficult and they're toe-stepping. But let me just encourage you. You're a part of something that is magnificent and wonderful and challenging and hard and difficult if we really take it to task. And what we're being reminded is that in this culture in which we live, and I don't think it's any surprise that God has sent us to a Muslim culture, by the way, in the world which we're living in right now. I don't think God thought, well, golly, I didn't even think about that was going to happen. God knew. Many of the unreached, unengaged people groups are Muslim people groups that are hard to get to. They take a long time to get there. It's expensive to get there. It's hard to reach them. It takes a long time. I love what David Platt, our International Mission Board president, said. All the easy people groups have been taken for a reason, because they're easy to get to. The reason the ones that are left is because they're hard, and many of them are found in two places. One in Southeast Asia, which is what we were committed to go to, and then also in South Asia in particular, the numbers of unreached people groups are bigger, and also the size of those people groups are significant, going into the millions of people in a people group that have yet to hear. Our people group, we're estimating, we're not still sure, we're still trying to figure that out. Maybe in the next 5 years we'll figure out how many it is. But we're just going to guesstimate it to be around 500,000 people. And intermixed among those are some Chinese folks and some other Asian folks, but in particular the Sangha Sakadao, we're not sure exactly how many there are. The estimates we had were 125,000. We think that's way low. And we're just excited to discover there are a few folks who know Christ there. There's a pastor here who has sacrificed, who has suffered, and his church is big. It's 9 families. Let's just take that down to rocket science here for a minute. Can we do that? All right, let me see right here. All right, so here's one family right here. Garners, raise your hand. All right, Amaker's 2, raise your hand. McDermott's 3. Okay, I have to call people that I know like straight off the top of my head. All right. Solomon, let's work something. Sarah, raise your hand. You're a family. Where's your family? Ron, raise your hand right there. Haley, your family. Beth and Aaron, you raise your family. Your family. How many is that so far? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay, Simmons right there. Linton's right there. All right. And Baker's right there. All right. There's your church. How about that? They didn't fill up one section over here. There's the whole church. So on a bad day, on a typical Baptist church day, the 9 families, only about 5 of them are going to be there. Oh, now come on, you can laugh at that. Good night. You know it's true, right? So 5 families, this guy's reaching. But get who God has put there. The hospital administrator, the assistant administrator. Nope, not yet. All right, he's coming next. The hospital administrator, this pastor, and some other key people God has put there. Folks, we began to pray 2 years ago, God, give us a heart for these people. Show us what to do. Show us how to do it. And slowly but surely, as we've stepped out in faith, we've been asking the whole time, hey, do you have a manual, like unreached, unengaged people group, how to do it, class 101? And they look at us and they go, our favorite answer, just trust the Holy Spirit. And us organized people go, okay. We did. Now, what's the class? 101. Okay, we did. How do we do this? What do we do? How do you start? I mean, you don't walk up to the front door of the mosque and say, hey, we're here to reach the Sangha Sakada for Jesus. Can you tell us where they are? That won't go over too well. We're taking it by faith. Step by step, trip by trip, God is beginning to open the doors for us to see. But I would tell you, as we're doing that, dear church, and I applaud us, and I thank God, and it's going to call us to go more, and to do more, and to share more, and to give and sacrifice so that others can go. We want to see that happen at the same time. Because some of you are going, whew, man, that is not for me. I am not going to Indonesia. Whew. I'm clear. God's not called me, can't go, not going to go, don't have the time, don't have the vacation time, don't have the money, whatever the case may be. And so we think we're excused. But the Bible's called us to declare his glory among the nations. And did you know, and I don't know how this will translate out, I'm just going to throw this out to you. Do you know that at Southern Miss and at William Carey, there are literally thousands of students, international students on those two campuses who come from countries that you and I could not get a visa to go into to share the gospel that are just not very far from our doorstep. Did you know that? And some of them are some of those brilliant minds from those places and those countries who are in our own backyard, and we're called to declare his glory among the nations. So, can I just kind of poop on your party a minute? You are not excused, nor am I, because God has brought the nations to us. Our world is shrinking, isn't it? Used to be to talk about going to a foreign mission field sound like the other side of the universe. It's like going to Mars. And now we hop on a plane, we're there in 2 days, which is a long time, I know, in airplane travel, but considering how long it used to take to get to some of these places, it would take a week or longer. So God has shrunk the world. Why? Here's why. Psalm 96, verse number 1. Here is our call this morning. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name, proclaim good tidings of his salvation from day to day. Tell of his glory, God's glory, among the nations, his wonderful deeds among all the people. That's the scripture for day 8 today in our prayer guide for international missions. Why? For the great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods, little g. For all the gods of the people are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord glory of his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in holy attire. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, say it, the Lord reigns. Indeed, the world is firmly established. It will not be moved. He will judge the people with equity. Let the heavens be glad and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all it contains. Let the fields exult and all that is in it. Then all the trees of the forest will sing for joy before the Lord, for he is what? Coming. We're in the book of Psalms, by the way, right? We're in the book of Psalms. We're not in Daniel. We're not in Revelation. The psalmist understood that the Lord was coming. He's coming twice. He already came one time. And that's what we celebrate in December. It's Christmas. The psalmist knew that God was coming in the promised form of Messiah, Jesus Christ. But not only that, he is coming to judge the earth. And he will judge the world in righteousness and the people in his faithfulness. So here is the question that I would lead us to consider this morning. Are our lives about telling the glory of God among the nations? Is that your story and is that mine? Or is our story another? And often when you describe somebody and they say to you, tell me about yourself. Really, as children of God, our first response should be, well, I do happen to be a dad, and I happen to be a pastor, or I happen to be a school teacher, or I happen to be an office worker, or I happen to be an accountant, or I happen to be a coach, or I happen to be whatever it is, but a mom, a teenager, a student. But really what describes me is that I'm a person that's called to declare God's glory among the nations. That's my call. That's why God has you here. That's why God has me here. That's why God has Petal First Baptist here. Because there are thousands upon thousands of people in this city, in this school district area, that are black and white, and some that at one point claimed an affiliation of a church. And there are boys and girls who are living in families. My little brother, I read, took a book to school, my little brother, called The Crippled Lamb. And I looked at him and I said, "Do you know the story of Christmas?" Expecting him to say, "Well, Santa Claus, of course. Everybody's going to answer that, it would seem." And so I said, "Yeah, but do you know the real true meaning of Christmas?" And he looked at me like I had just said, spell supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. He looked at me and he said, "No, I don't." And I said, "Well, I'm glad you just asked me about the Christmas story. Isn't that what you just did? Let me tell you. There are children. There are folks that are from other countries. There are Muslims who live in our city. And all of these people that live here need to know Jesus. And it is our responsibility, it is our calling, it is our privilege to declare His glory among the nations." And the question is simply this: will we do it? Let me encourage you, we are in many ways. And we'll lay out on January the 3rd our State of the Church message, some of the other ways we're going to give avenues for you to do those kinds of things. A little bit closer to home, because Indonesia sounds like a million miles away, and when you travel on an airplane for 2 days, it seems like it is. Folks, it's Christmas. The most wonderful time of the year, except when it's hot. But for many, they don't celebrate the true wonderful of Christmas. And the wonder of Christmas. Yes, most of you in this room, you will have a visit from Santa Claus and there will be gifts. And then they'll be followed by, I pray, before or after or during and all between, conversations and stories being read from the Bible about knowing about Jesus' birthday and the coming of our Savior. But there will be many in Petal. There will be many in the United States of America. There will be many in the state of Mississippi. And there will be billions around the world. Christmas will come and it will go. And they'll have no clue why. And yet you and I, dear church family, we know the answer. So my challenge to us, dear church, for the Sangal Sakadao in particular, and the Lottie Moon Christmas offering, is we would do those three words. Then we would pray. Now I'm going to ask you that you'll grab a band on your way out this morning and put it on your wrist and not forget about it, and pray. And pray for Pakati. I gave Andy a hard time Wednesday night, and I felt bad about it for about 5 seconds or so, and because I love Andy. But you know why that happened? You know why that happened, Andy Simmons? It's because we prayed that God would give us favor with them, and that's exactly what He did. And that's how come little midget Brad didn't go, because he wouldn't have cared about being my friend. I'm too short. I look Indonesian a little. You don't, and you're tall. We prayed for God to give us favor with Pak Aaron, the driver, and He has. We prayed for God to give us favor with the guy in Sangal, Pak Andy. No, Pak who? What's his name? Andy? Too many Andys. Pak Andy. And He did. We're praying for God to open doors. And so we want to pray specifically. We want to know, how do I pray? We don't just pray, "Well, God bless the Sangal Sakadao." One of the things you talk about is praying specifically. So pray for the river. You know the name of the river? Say that. You got to say that a heck of a lot louder than that. One more time. There you go. You heard that? That's a hard word to say. The Kapuas River. All right? praying for Pakhati, who is on that river, praying for those that get on those boats, praying for Pak, what we call his, the pastor's name, what's the Americanized name? Louis. That is not his real name. That's the name we've given him, Pak Louis. We're going to pray for that pastor. We want to pray for the hospital administrator. We want to pray for those seeds that have been planted. So pray. Pray not only for that, for the Sango Sakada, but pray for our mission in Haiti. Pray for these other missionaries we've described to you and we've mentioned by name, the one we'll get to love on in Mississippi in a few weeks. But praying. Praying. Not just God bless our 4,000 missionaries. Because I think from time to time, though I don't think he does it, but I guess we just personalize it, God says, well, which ones? Well, where are they? And what do they need prayer for? We pray. We give. I want to encourage you to give. To get God's glory to the nations isn't free. It's costly. And I ask you unashamedly for two reasons. Number one, I made a commitment to you in the very first day that I stepped in this pulpit, and that was this. I would never ask you to do something I wouldn't first do myself. And so I'm asking you to give significantly and sacrificially. And the word significantly for all of us is different, I know. I didn't all ask us to give a lot. I ask us to give significantly and sacrificially. The second reason I don't mind it, because I know the truth. The scripture says it. It is more blessed to give than it is to receive. Right? Yes. So we give. And lastly, as we close, we must go. And my encouragement is that which David Platt shared with us Wednesday night, our International Mission Board president. Here's what he said. The call to go is for every single believer. And if you think somehow that you can excuse yourself or I can excuse myself from going, that's for somebody else, that's for missionaries or pastors or for people that feel called to it, folks, we are all called to go. The real question is really not, do I need to go? The question you need to ask yourself is, how and when and where will I go? And we want to do our best as a church family to place as many opportunities before you as humanly possible for you to go. So, Petal First Baptist Church, job well done. But there is much still to be done. Will you pray? Will you give? And will you go? Father, I pray this morning as we come to a time of invitation. What a time to say yes to you. God, in these moments, I prayed as our mission teams have shared over these last several weeks, as we have watched videos that have prayerfully pricked our hearts, as we have, Father, encountered this story of Christmas, as we have talked about missionaries, as we have talked about the gospel and declaring your glory among the nations. God, I pray that you, I know that you are, but I pray that we will be willing to hear the prick or sense the prick in our heart and hear the sweet, still, small voice of our spirit to say, what will you do? God, we want to brag and I thank a church family that's willing to go. Father, we have gone so far in 3.5 years. You have blessed us because I believe we have stepped out far beyond our comfort zones, far beyond our financial resources, far beyond our abilities. And God's saying, God, we can't do this. We don't know how to do this. We don't know what in the world we do. We don't mind saying that. And God, as we've done that, you said, don't worry about that. I just need you to step out. And there's some this morning, God, would you call them just to step out? They're scared, they're afraid, they're lackadaisical, they're complacent, they're apathetic, they don't know what to do. God, just help them say, I just want you to take, Lord, you would say, I just want you to take the first step. And all that first step is willing to say yes to Jesus. Yes, God. Yes, I'll pray. Yes, I'll give. Yes, I'll go. We don't have to answer all the particulars. We just have to be willing to say yes, to put our all on the altar before you. And so I pray this morning for people who have yet to trust Christ as Savior and as Lord and yet to put it all on the altar. They'd be willing to admit they're a sinner and ask you to forgive them of all of their sins. Believe that you are the Son of God, that you came, born of a virgin, lived a perfect, sinless life, died a sinner's death, rose again victoriously, promising to come get us again. And we believe that with our head and with our heart, so much so that we confess you as our Savior, that I cannot save myself, and I commit my life to you as Lord for the rest of my days. I pray for some to put their yes on the altar that way. For others to come place their yes on the altar means I want to be part of a church family. I understand I cannot be the believer God has called me to be and be an orphan spiritually. It is not biblical. There's nothing biblical about it. And so God, some of the yes is to say, we want to be a part of this church family. God, you're compelling us and calling us to be a part of this church family. God, for others, they would want to come to this altar and say, oh God, I just want to say yes. I don't even know what I'm saying yes to. I just want to say yes. For others, they would feel compelled to call and come and call upon the name of the Lord that you would save the Songhai Sakadal people group. Because here's what we know. Lord, your word says in Revelation that you will gather every tribe and every tongue and every language. And we're convinced that one day when we're gathered around the throne, there will be people from our people group. We call them ours. They're yours. We call them ours because we've embraced them on this side of eternity. We're guaranteed there are going to be some there. Because people, like part of this church family, are willing to go and say yes. God, would you deal with us as we worship you? Would we not leave this building unchanged or unfazed? But God, would you do in us what only you can do? We give it to you now as we worship you. Help us respond to you, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you